Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed members of our LifeWave family, please help us welcome to the stage founder, CEO, and inventor of the LifeWave technology, David Schmidt.
Crowd before, but that's ridiculous. I don't know what I was thinking when I agreed to follow Renita and Bo Brannon. Another round of applause for them, everybody. They were amazing, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, because this is the heart-to-heart convention, not surprisingly, we're going to do a product training on the heart and the cardiovascular system. We are going to be covering a tremendous amount of information. So I'm going to go very quickly through these slides. So I would advise on some of them, you take a picture, because there's going to be a lot of links, and there was just simply no way to fit all of this information on single slides. So fair warning. Okay, now when we're going to talk about the heart, and we're going to take a look at what can we do to prevent or reverse cardiovascular disease. We need to have a mindset about this. How are we going to be thinking about it? So to think about heart disease, I'd like you to think about the Titanic. All right, we're off to a bad start. Guys, I know you were looking up here, and you weren't looking at your wife or your girlfriend. And by the way, when I refer to a woman, I'm referring to a person with ovaries, okay? Just so we can all be clear. okay. Or whatever they're called. But yeah, if you... If you looked at your wife or your girlfriend, I guarantee they were just thinking of the movie Titanic, right? They're thinking about the movie Titanic, not what we're going to be talking about, and they're like, oh my God, I love that movie, right? It's so sweet, it's so romantic. And every guy in here, correct me if I'm wrong, was thinking, I hate that movie. It's horrible. Because every guy in here knows that if he was on the Titanic, he would have been the one hanging off the edge of the ship as it's about to go into the water, and he was in a tuxedo because you wanted to get dressed up that night. All right? That's why we don't like the movie Titanic. But no, when it comes to heart disease, what we want to think about is that the iceberg is way out there, and that's heart disease. And we need to be able to see and predict that, okay, at some point in the future, because heart disease is still the number one killer, we want to enact prevention today. So just like, okay, we see the iceberg out there, we need to slow down, we need to make a turn so we can avoid the accident. We don't want to go to a doctor and then have the doctor tell us, okay, well, you've got heart disease, now we have to get you ready for surgery, we have to put you on medication. You don't want to wait to that point. You have to say, okay, at some point, after the age of 30, your risk of heart disease is going to go up each year, and it is completely preventable, and it's completely reversible. So let's talk about how we're going to do that. And of course, like everything that we do when we do LifeWave Connect, when we do these webinars, there's going to be plenty of references, so it's going to be based on clinical literature and also practical experience. Okay, so the first thing, let's talk a little bit about the human heart. It's actually very interesting in the sense that we normally think of the heart as being a pump, right? We're going to be pumping blood, and of course it does that. But the majority of the energy is actually used for warming the blood. So when we're thinking about some things we think we might know about the cardiovascular system, it's interesting to step back and say, well, sometimes we may not know everything that we thought. Another very interesting thing about the human heart is that it has an extremely powerful energy field. And it's measurable with something called the squid magnetometer. It's a superconducting magnetic device that was invented back in the 1960s. And this energy field around the human heart is about 100 times more powerful than the field produced by the brain. So we can use these techniques to quantify and measure the electromagnetic system around the heart and the brain, and also look at the shape of these fields. We'll talk about that in just a second. It's called magnetocardiography. And what's important about this is that the shape of the field, if it changes in a detrimental way based off of a standard, we can predict heart disease many, many years before you actually have a problem. It's similar to medical infrared imaging. Medical infrared imaging can detect vascularization of breast tissue, as an example, years before a woman gets breast cancer. So this allows us to come up with strategies to reverse this pathology before it becomes a serious problem. So these are very, very important tools. Now, of course, we're going to associate the emotion of love with the heart. So what is the relationship between spirituality and the heart? And normally, we might think of this as being something esoteric, but I don't really think so. I think things that are esoteric, mystical, are really a science that hasn't been discovered yet. So let me show you what I mean by this. The Old Testament, of course, in Christianity, it's all kind of relative. In Christianity, the book of Genesis is in the Old Testament, and then, of course, there's the New Testament after the birth of Christ. So in the Old Testament, let's say we were going to take a look at, it was written, of course, in Hebrew. New Testament was written in Greek. And the interesting thing about both of those languages is that each letter in those alphabets can be converted into a numerical value. So let's say that we're talking about the heart. What is the Hebrew word for heart? It's lev. Okay, doesn't seem like much so far. But if we convert lev over to a number, we come up with the number 32. Okay, what do we know about the number 32? Well, first, it's a number that's known for balance and harmony and peace, like you might expect. Nothing unusual there. But if we look at the King James Bible, and the reason I'm going to use this version is because many people consider it to be mathematically pure and the inspired word of God. So if we were to look at it this way, right? So let's say if there really is a God and creator, then you would expect that God would be the best mathematician, physicist, biochemist that ever existed, and God would leave a signature someplace. So when we look at the Bible, if it really is the inspired word of God, then there should be a mathematical code there, a fingerprint that God left behind. So what's interesting is that the word heart, in Hebrew, of course, appeared 765 times. Now, I like to play around with math and look for patterns. So when you're going to invent something and you want to create something new, you make observations about systems, especially living systems, and then you see, are there any type of patterns that we can follow? And the interesting thing is that if you take that 765 and you add each number individually, and you keep doing that until we get a number between 0 and 9, 9 means fulfillment. Okay, interesting. What else can we say? Okay, now let's just use the first five books of the Old Testament. So what I thought was, okay, let's take the number of times the word heart appears in the Old Testament. So you can see here in the book of Genesis, 11 times, Exodus 37 times, and so forth, it appears exactly 100 times. Now, if you take the number of times it appears and then divide it by 32, the numerical value of heart, then you get those numbers in that last column, and then you add them up, and you get 3.125. Okay, let's do the same thing now, and what we'll do is we'll take the number of times that it appears instead of individually, but in passages, then it's 92 times, and if you add them up, it's 2.875. Doesn't seem like anything yet. However, if we take the number of times the word appears, add the number of passages, it equals 6. To get the average is 3. And then in the Bible, the number 3 represents God's presence in something. So we start to see something here, that the word heart can be distilled through a series of mathematical calculations down to a number which represents God's involvement. So anytime you see the number 3 in the Bible, it always means God is involved in something. Okay, maybe you're not convinced yet. Let's take the number of times that it appears in the passages, 100 plus 92, 192, 1 plus 9 plus 2 equals 12, 1 plus 2 equals 3. God's involvement again. Let's take the number of times the word appears plus the number of passages, 192 divided by 2 is 96. 96 equals 32, which is the number for the heart, multiplied by 3, which is God's involvement. There are 426 verses in the Bible with the word 3. 4 plus 2 plus 6 equals 12. 1 plus 2 equals 3, God's involvement. You getting the point? Okay. I'm going to tell you why this matters, is because when you come back next year, you're going to see how we use these formulas and equations to create new technology that reverses human aging. Okay. That's a spoiler. Okay. So what's an example of how we can apply this? Well, actually, I have a patent. There's a whole series of patents on pulsed electromagnetic field therapy. And one of the things that we did was we took an electronic stethoscope and we put it over the four chambers of the heart. And then we took that signal and we put it through a signal generator, we put it through an amplifier, and we fed that back through this coil. So this electromagnetic field that was external to the body was beating with the human heart. It's a little bit complicated, so what that means is it's not something you'd really have in your home and you could use it that way. But what we were doing with this was regenerating nerve damage, peripheral nerve damage, and we found it to be very, very effective. So there's actually ways that we can take this math and apply it in the real world to heal. All right, now let's talk about the enemy. Let's talk about heart disease. And of course, what we want to do is understand first what is the problem that we're trying to tackle here. So we know that atherosclerosis is going to be a thickening of the arterial walls, stiffening of the arteries over time, accumulation of plaque, reduced blood flow. And this is something which is not inevitable, but if you're dealing with this problem now, we want to, or if you're interested in preventing it, then the question is, what is it that we need to do, and how did you get into that circumstance in the first place? And unfortunately, with current medical treatments, so you go see your medical doctor. Doctor says, well, you know, you have clogged arteries, essentially. And so you're a candidate for bypass surgery. We have to put you on drugs. Maybe you're going to get put on statins, which have undesirable side effects. And it's unlikely, because I'm not knocking medical doctors. Most don't get the training that they need to look at putting one of their patients on an exercise program, on diet and nutrition, the value of supplements. They just simply don't get trained in those disciplines. So they're going to recommend what they are taught in medical school, which is going to be surgery and drugs. So this, of course, is what this looks like if you essentially look at a pipe, and then the inner diameter of that pipe gets smaller and smaller over time. There's going to be reduced blood flow, and then ultimately, of course, blood flow is blocked entirely, and this is something we absolutely have to avoid because that could result in a heart attack or a stroke. So, of course, there's current treatments for heart disease, as we already talked about. And these things are fine if someone needs surgery, if it's life-threatening, then maybe there's not time to reverse the condition. But the whole idea behind this is we don't want to get to that point in the first place. So, of course, the problem with this approach is that someone goes to see their doctor, and it's already too late. The medical doctor is not thinking about necessarily prevention. Not most of them. You have medical doctors, of course, that are clinical nutritionists, they're acupuncturists as well, and they're going to be looking at these therapies. So I'm definitely not knocking medical doctors. This is more a commentary on the system of indoctrination in medical school, of what is lacking. So again, we can use an analogy behind this. It's like, you know, do you want to go to see a mechanic and get an oil change, get new tires, get these things taken care of as preventatives, or do you want to wait until your engine seizes and you've run out of oil or your tires go bald before you start to correct it? Okay, the choice is pretty obvious, is that we want to do the preventative maintenance on the human body so we don't end up in this situation. So, a little bit of a disclaimer first. I am not a medical doctor. I'm not giving medical advice. We don't claim that our products treat, cure, or mitigate any disease in human beings or animals. And these recommendations are for you to simply say, wow, this is very, very interesting research. I need to take this research to my healthcare practitioner so they can recommend what will work for me in my situation. Is that fair?
Yes.
Come on. Is that fair?
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. Great. Okay. So let's look at some of the causes first of heart disease. Most of these are going to be pretty self-evident. We're going to start with lack of exercise. And a good reason to start with this is that the clinical data is overwhelmingly positive that exercise is better than any type of pharmaceutical drug when it comes to preventing and reversing heart disease, bar none. So any strategy that is going to include preventing or reversing heart disease by default has to include some type of exercise. It can be, if you have some weight to lose, it can be just something as simple as walking, getting the body moving, starting off slow and working up, and then preferably doing combination of resistance training and cardio. Lack of proper nutrition is obvious. If you saw that movie Super Size Me, where the guy was eating McDonald's three times a day, after like 2 weeks, he was practically dead, right? So we have to be thinking about our nutrition. What are we putting in our bodies? That's absolutely critical. The natural aging process. Our body is going to be a little bit more prone to detrimental effects from aging. And so this is why techniques to reverse the human aging process are so very necessary, because we can use it as a way to mitigate serious disease. Genetics, of course, plays a role. Medications make people more likely to get heart disease or ironically die as a result of taking the medication. And then, of course, physical and emotional stress. Okay. Here's an interesting study on exercise. We won't go through the whole thing now in the interest of time. But basically what this says is that if you're exercising, either doing low intensity or high intensity, you're going to be significantly reducing your risk of cardiovascular disease. And again, no surprise there. VO2 max. So VO2 max refers to the ability of our muscles to use oxygen. How effectively do we take oxygen that's in the blood and then turn it over into usable work? The better the VO2 max, the healthier the cardiovascular system, right? And that inherently is going to make sense. But what's also really important here as a concept is that if you were to take the population and you were look at a scale of people that were terribly out of shape, that were in a disease state, and then people that were Olympic athletes, what happens is that if you move people from the very low end, even up into the middle range, you are significantly reducing that person's risk of having a heart attack or stroke. So what this means is that when we're thinking about mindset on this, what type of goals do you have to set in terms of exercise? You don't have to think in terms of, oh, I've got to exercise like a professional athlete or an Olympic athlete in order to be completely healthy. No, that's not it at all. What it means is that if you're getting yourself into a reasonable degree of shape, each step that you take in the right direction is going to continue to reverse your odds of getting a serious event like a heart attack or stroke. So these things are obviously really important. Okay. I think we've kind of covered this a little bit, but I want you to take a look at the very last sentence there. The summary hazard ratio for mortality, comparing the slowest with the fastest quarter of walking speed, was 2.87. So this is a remarkable reduction in risk of heart disease. Okay, so the bottom line here is anytime you're going to make a serious change in your diet, in your exercise, you want to be guided by your healthcare practitioner because they're going to know what's best for your specific situation, especially if you have a pre-existing condition. So if you don't have training in this, definitely work with a trained healthcare practitioner. Okay. So let's take one more look at this so we know what we're dealing with. But this is a pretty good picture of what happens over time. So for people that are young and healthy, arterial wall looks normal. There's no accumulation of plaque. And then over time, this plaque will accumulate. There's a whole variety of reasons, by the way, for why this happens. But suffice it to say that it does. So there's early warning signs. That's a good thing. Now, guys, I have bad news for you and kind of good news. The good news is that if you have erectile dysfunction, it's an early warning sign of heart disease, so you can go ahead and do something. The bad news is, I'm sorry to hear you have erectile dysfunction. But that's something, it's a little bit, you know, we refer to it as the canary in the coal mine. That is about 60% of the time, it is going to be a symptom of cardiovascular disease. So another percentage of time, let's say it's psychological, but you know, the majority of the time, it's an early sign that there's heart disease. Of course, poor circulation, if you're having problem with your extremities, they're getting cold, that's going to be an indication that the cardiovascular system isn't doing what it's supposed to. High blood pressure, of course, you know, is fairly obvious, chest pain, and so forth. So, and by default, as the amount of weight that you have around your waist increases, further risk of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. So the good news is that there's warning signs here, and we don't have to really guess as to whether or not we're prone. That, the other way to look at this, too, is that as we get over the age of 30, 35, we should be proactively engaged in proper exercise, diet, nutritional supplements, patches, to reduce our risk of having a heart attack or stroke as much as possible. Okay, so then how would we characterize some of these things? And the reason why this is important is that if we can, like when I'm looking to invent something, I want to create a detailed map of the problem to define the problem. Because if you can't articulate, if you can't define the problem, then how are you going to come up with a solution? So in things like age reversal, you want to understand what is really going inside the cell. We can look at mitochondrial function. We can look at the potential, the electrical potential around the cell. There's epigenetic changes that occur, so changes in gene expression. The ability of the cell to detoxify. We look at the phase angle around the cell membrane. These and other measures are an important way to define the aging process. So as we define the aging process, then we can look at each one and say, okay, how exactly could I go about enhancing mitochondrial function? And then if we do that, what effect is that going to have on gene expression over time? And ultimately, is that going to result in lengthening telomeres? Is it going to result in beneficial changes in gene expression? And then so ultimately, do we see reversal of the age of the cell? And this is actually a relatively long process. We were doing a study. I don't know if I should say this. We were doing a study on to see if any of our patches would lengthen telomeres. And what we found is that if we looked at 3 months post using this patch, you couldn't see any change in the telomeres. But at 6 months, you began to see those changes. In age reversal, you have to go about 6 to 9 months of using a product before we actually start to see beneficial changes in gene expression. So some of these changes are going to show up in a relatively short period of time. There are effects which we can measure in the metabolism of the cell by doing blood and urine testing that will show up within minutes, bioelectrical tests that show up within less than 1 minute, but then other things are going to be much, much longer, 6, 9 months. So it's important that we look at these things from the point of view of you start on an exercise program, you start taking supplements, you start using patches. There's going to be effects that you're going to see immediately, like reduction in pain, improvement in range of motion. There's going to be other effects that will show up over a period of a few weeks, such as 3 to 6 weeks, improvements in cognition. And then there's other effects yet that are going to show up over a period of many months. So it's important to be very, very consistent with these programs. Don't start a program and then a week or two later stop because you didn't think something worked the way that you wanted it to. This is about, you know, a lifetime commitment to health and wellness. Okay. Okay, so how could we go about then reversing heart disease? Let's get right to it. And we want to do this, of course, as natural a means as possible and hopefully avoid surgery and avoid medications. Okay, so we're going to skip through this one very quickly with exercise. But needless to say, there is a direct correlation between human aging and strength and stamina. The correlation is extremely clear that if you want to have a long health span and stay healthy and strong for as long a period of time, you must exercise. There's no other way to go about it, because if you're in your 70s and you're not exercising and you've had a significant sarcopenia, reduction in muscle mass, that's also going to translate into a reduction in bone density, And then, of course, the first time you fall, you may have an accident that you may or may not recover from, and that recovery is going to take a long period of time. You may see something next year that will solve that problem. I think that's a fair tease. Okay. So, you know, talk to your doctor about starting slow. Get into a program that is going to work for your lifestyle. Don't try to, you know, become an Olympic athlete your first week. All right, start off slow and then make progression. It can be something as simple as walking 20 or 30 minutes a couple of times a week. If you want to get a little bit more aggressive, then start doing Tabatas, which are phenomenal. And definitely get into resistance training. Again, it doesn't have to be anything complicated. It can be body weight exercises to start, and then hopefully you're going to be weight training. By the way, a very interesting study that was done in Russia on lifting very, very heavy weights in a static hold, it found that when you're going to do an exercise like a static squat or a static bench press with heavy weight, the pressure from the weight put on the bone causes stem cells in the bones to come out into the blood and the lymphatic system. So this exercise, as it turns out, especially heavy resistance training, is a way to increase the number of circulating stem cells in the body. Okay. Now, LifeWave patches, this combination of X39 and X49 was talked about a little bit before, and you can find this study in our back office, so we're just going to skip through it quickly now. But basically, when you're embarking on an exercise program, you want to make sure that you're getting adequate protein in your diet several times per day. Especially, you need to be acutely activating mTOR. So mTOR is what's turning on muscle protein synthesis. And so you want to have about 3 to, depending on your age, about 3 to 4 grams of the amino acid leucine in that protein serving. So if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, your protein source is going to be lower in leucine. If you're consuming things like whey protein, red meat, you're going to have a higher amount of leucine. But you could be consuming 20 or 30 grams of protein, and if you don't have enough leucine, you're not turning on muscle protein synthesis, and you're not going to be building new muscle, even if you're exercising and you think you're eating right. But when you use a tool like the patches, it's going to dramatically increase the rate at which you're going to improve your strength and stamina. Okay, and here's some other figures here of X49 only versus the combination of the two. And there's a really nice study about this in our back office. Okay. And the really nice thing about this is that X39 and X49 complement one another. X39, I used to be able to say this. I'm not technically supposed to say this anymore. So I think what I can say is that X39 works on the entire body and X49 is more selective, right? But the bottom line is that it'll make you leaner and stronger. Okay, and this is an example of a 74-year-old on the before and after. Okay, let's keep things moving here. And let's talk about nutrition, hardening or stiffening of the arteries. Okay, vitamin D. There was a age reversal study that I saw recently that involved 5 different substances. One was zinc, the other was vitamin D, another one was growth hormone, another compound that was used was metformin. But in any case, the reason I bring this up is that it was shown that through the combination of these materials over a period of 9 months, the average reduction in human age was 6.5 years. So vitamin D should not be underestimated. 50,000 IUs of vitamin D daily, which is only to be used for a short period of time, and if you have a problem with your kidneys, you shouldn't take this much. And you should always do this under the advice of your healthcare practitioner. But vitamin D at 50,000 IUs per day has been used successfully for treating cancer. 50,000 IUs of vitamin D daily has been used successfully to push viruses out of the body. And that information would be helpful for people to know, but unfortunately, some of the powers that be want to suppress freedom of speech and not let you know that. But of course, So, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 IUs of vitamin D daily is safe for most people, and unequivocally, this is shown to improve the elasticity of the arteries. Okay, what about accumulation of plaque? This is a big one. If you go see your medical doctor and they've had conventional training, one of the things they're going to say is that there's nothing you can do to remove arterial plaque, and that is just absolutely false. Very simple materials have been demonstrated in clinical studies, and there's a whole list of studies there that you can reference, have been successful at removing arterial plaque over a period of time. Generally, in these studies, you see that they last about 6 to 9 months. But even simple substances like an extract of garlic, pomegranate extract, the enzyme in pomegranates, has been shown to digest arterial plaque and improve blood flow. Especially pomegranate extract is so interesting because a study that was done, which was posted by Life Extension, had shown that individuals that took a pomegranate extract over a period of 9 months were able to avoid bypass surgery. So these are the type of things that we're interested in. Vitamin K, MK7, and MK4 are other materials that are known to remove arterial plaque. So this notion that we age and there's nothing that we can do to improve the health of our heart is just absolute nonsense. Okay. Oh, one other thing I wanted to bring up was omega-3s. So, of course, often when we think of omega-3s and their value, what we're thinking about is that we take the omega-3 orally and it will prevent plaque from sticking to the arterial walls. Well, here was an interesting study just recently that was showing that injections of omega-3s could prevent heart disease entirely. The author of that study, by the way, insinuated that this could reverse heart disease, but they didn't want to go that far. But there was data in the study to actually show that. All right, how about reduced blood flow? This is an important one because if you have, if you're someone sitting here today and you have you've neglected your body for a long period of time and you already have this problem, what you're going to be thinking about is something like, okay, I have high blood pressure through restricted blood flow as a result of having accumulation of arterial plaque. My doctor has told me if I don't change, I'm going to be a candidate for bypass surgery. So what do I do? Okay, so let's take a look at this. Nitric oxide, okay? There's any number of different ways of elevating nitric oxide. There's a whole host of things. Many studies have actually shown that beets are one of the best ways, compared to supplementation, of naturally elevating nitric oxide. Pycnogenol, which is a pine bark extract, is another good way to do it. And for kind of like a 1-2 punch here, the combination of garlic and vitamin C has been shown to increase nitric oxide levels by about 300% over baseline. So you get the benefit of reducing the arterial plaque and improving blood flow all in the same combination of using those two. There's another one that's really good, which is black ginger extract. That's something from Thailand. It's relatively uncommon, but you can get it. And that does a great job of improving nitric oxide and blood flow. And these are things that go to work immediately, by the way. Veloso, not surprisingly, many of those things, because they're elevating nitric oxide, people will see almost an immediate reduction in their blood pressure. So this brings up another question. If there is an accumulation of arterial plaque, then there's going to be damage to the endothelial lining. What do we do about that? I wanted to mention this one enzyme specifically, which is natokinase. Now, natokinase is it's a natural enzyme, and it's found in ferment in soy. And very quickly, this was discovered in Japan. And what was found was that people that were consuming natto had a much lower risk of heart disease than a control population. And so it was quickly found that natokinase was the active compound. Well, sure enough, if you take natokinase, it will improve blood flow. It will prevent and reverse heart disease. But natokinase more recently has been shown to digest viruses like those that are related to COVID. Oh, I guess I can't say that. Okay. It rhymes with a virus that rhymes with Schmovid. All right. So that's an important one. So one of the things, as an example, that you could include in your daily regimen, which would be for everyone, no matter how good a shape you're in, is natokinase. And the reason for that is that it will help to reduce your risk of heart attack, reduce your risk of stroke, improve blood flow, reduce your risk of neuropathy, and eventually we're all going to get COVID again because this is going to be around forever now. But the good thing is that we can adopt strategies that prevent us from showing any symptoms, right? You guys do know that they're putting the mRNA vaccine in food now, right? And in animals and that kind of stuff. Yeah, so we need to be thinking about these things that when they're not telling us they're in food and it's going to get into our bodies, what can we do to destroy the spike protein? So fortunately, God and nature have already provided solutions for us. We just need to go out and use them. Okay. So let's look at inflammatory stress, another thing that, of course, works very, very well for COVID is NAC, and it actually works so well that here in the United States, the FDA tried to take it off the market, and it's a, you know, relatively speaking, a natural compound. But not surprisingly, anything that is going to reduce inflammatory stress in the body, which would be antioxidants, coenzyme Q10, NAC, vitamin C, for serious cases of heart disease, 10 grams up to 70 grams IV of vitamin C is used. And then something that's very, very successful at treating cancer as well as heart disease is the combination of DMSO and curcumin by IV or taking it orally. Okay, then for high blood pressure, this is, of course, it's a big one and actually has a very, very easy solution. The first thing that I want to mention is the combination of taurine and magnesium. Any of the recommendations that we showed before on elevating nitric oxide are going to work at helping to reduce blood pressure. But the clinical studies on taurine show that it's more effective than pharmaceutical drugs at lowering blood pressure. And it's a common amino acid. The other thing about taurine, this is something that we study in our lab and we devote research to, because it appears, based on human data now, that if you want to extend your lifespan and also stay younger in the process, you should be supplementing with taurine. Animal studies and human studies are starting to indicate that it could be a 20 to 25% increase in lifespan using taurine. And I think what we'd say is that the mechanism of action is not entirely well understood. But the short-term benefits of taurine are really enormous. They're going to improve cognition, improve the health of the heart, And for men, they can also play a role in supporting healthy testosterone levels. So there's many good reasons for using taurine, but it will at doses of, let's say, 2 to 4 grams daily, and I wouldn't take it all at once. It will drop blood pressure very, very rapidly. Magnesium, of course, is another one and should be a staple. Magnesium threonate, magnesium citrate, magnesium glycinate especially. Those are all really great options for managing blood pressure. Okay, now what about the patches? I know you've been waiting for this part. So we've had, of course, a number of changes in the way we make claims, but what we're going to talk about are studies that we've done that you can find in the back office. And since 2005, we've been doing clinical studies on our patches using techniques like heart rate variability to look at what are the effects of the patches on the heart. Oh, by the way, I should probably mention, my patch protocol today, X39 on the back of the neck, X49 below the belly button. I've got a set of energy patches on kidney 1 on the bottom of my feet. And of course, I have patches on heart 3 on my elbow. So I wanted to patch the heart meridian since we're talking about heart to heart. So we have done studies on X39 as well as our other patches at improving the health of the heart. And it happens very, very quickly. With X39 in as little about 6 weeks, we see measurable improvements. Now, there's this little thing called copper peptide. And as it turns out, if you go take a look at the research that Dr. Lauren Picart has done since the late 1960s, there is a very strong correlation between levels of copper peptide in the body and the health of the heart. And, of course, longevity. And these effects are directly attributed to the ability of copper peptide to have favorable gene expression. Okay, and that's an example of one of the studies. Now, we've also done studies, as I mentioned, on energy enhancer. This one was done by Homer Nazaran, a biomedical engineer at the time at the University of Texas in El Paso. But with techniques like heart rate variability, which measures the ratio of muscle contractions between the chambers of the heart, low-frequency and high-frequency muscle contractions, we can see the effects of our product on the autonomic nervous system. So if we can get the body into a more relaxed state, that's going to have a favorable change on heart rate variability, and ultimately that'll show as an improvement in the health of the heart. Sorry, I've got to keep moving here. I'm a little bit behind. This is another study by Tom Budzinski. And again, you can get this in your back office. And it's showing very, very similar benefits. Now, carnosine is stored in the brain and the heart and the muscles. It's for anyone that has a problem with their eyes, there are carnosine drops that you can take. So if you have high blood pressure and now you're having a problem with your vision, you should be thinking about carnosine. But you can actually, in Europe, it's prescribed as medication for the health of the eyes, and you can get it here now in the United States. But because carnosine is an antioxidant, it's an anti-inflammatory, what we found when we studied carnosine and heart health was that even within the first week, it was going to show very, very significant improvements in strength and stamina. So this is important because if you're getting started with a health and fitness routine, this can really jumpstart your results, and this will keep you motivated. You know, if you're going to see results as little as your very first week, the odds of you continuing are pretty high. Okay, and another important thing about carnosine, very, very interesting thing about this nutrient, well, two things. One that I will just say this study was done by oral carnosine, is that it protects the telomeres from shortening. So in animal studies, in mice and rats, carnosine has been shown to increase lifespan by 35 to 40%. But even maybe more impressive is that the animals do not age until the very, very end of their lives. So it's like they stay 25, you know, right up until the very end. The other thing about carnosine for athletes is that it's going to act as a buffer for lactic acid. So what that means is that when you're competing or exercising and trying to improve stamina, it's going to help set off that muscle burn and allow you to perform longer and better. Not surprisingly, EON, because it's for stress reduction, is going to have a very, very favorable effect on the human heart. So this is all to say that there are any number of patches that we sell that have favorable, beneficial effects on the heart, but through different mechanisms. So, you know, work with your practitioner on, or just try things and see which product is going to be right for you, which is going to be the best one to use for yourself. But I would always recommend starting with X39 and then going from there, since the effects are so broad. So the bottom line on this is speak with your doctor first and work with your healthcare practitioner at putting together a program that makes sense for you. And think about these things in terms of long-term benefits, not that you're going to do it for a month or 2 months. You know, really be looking at the big picture. Also, be thinking about, you know, why is it that you're going to be doing this? You know, think about the people in your life that love you and that you love, and you want to be in their lives for as long as possible. And so you're only going to be able to do that if you're around and you're healthy. So, you know, be thinking about these things for motivation. And then I think lastly, what has been proved definitively is that when we live in a state of anger, aggression, stress, it elevates oxidative stress in the body, it elevates inflammatory stress, and it is going to be a contributor to heart disease. On the other hand, it has been absolutely proven in studies that when we live in a state of love, it reduces stress in the body and it reduces our risk of disease. So let's be thankful for what we have. Let's love one another, put aside our hatred and anger, and make this planet a true paradise to live in. Thank you for your time, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all back tomorrow. Thank you.